book of 1 Peter is a good reminder to your pastor, and I pray that it's a good reminder to you that we have to do nothing to make the Word of God applicable. It is applicable. And I don't have to do something. I don't have to make it applicable for you. It is just that relevant. We don't need to do gimmicks to prove how relevant it is. We don't even have to stretch the relevancy of it. It is this kind of relevancy. And here's the relevancy of it today. Good majority of you have spent some time this week working for someone. And so the Word of God has something for you here today. And I believe it will be a good word, be a difficult word, be hard to swallow at times, the Word of God, but it's good for you. And as you prepare yourself, perhaps even some of you are here this morning on the verge of great frustration in the workplace. And I want you to know that I want to be praying for you. I want the Word of God to encourage you and strengthen you today. And this word today is a risky word because it does not mean, I'm going to tell you what it doesn't mean first, and then we're going to look at what it means. It doesn't mean you are a mat for your boss to just walk on and do all kinds of ungodly, unfair, unjust things to you. And for you to just grow to a point of finding joy in that. It's not what this means. But it is what this means. So what does that mean, Paul? Well, let's look at the word. Verse 18, 19, and 20. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and you are harshly treated, that you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So God, this word of instruction to us today is good for us. The vast majority of us work for somebody. And yes, God, even some of us work for people who are unjust and unfair. They make demands that are unreasonable. And they treat us unfairly. And God, we need help. We want to know, God, how do we do this? How do we behave properly in this workplace that we have to go to, that we are subject to? How do we do this in a manner that brings glory to you? So, God, give us instruction and insight today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, to keep things in the proper context of the book, as we've been examining the book verse by verse, know that the audience here is you. The audience is the born-again believer. The audience are those who have been called of God to be born again. The audience are those who live as strangers and aliens in this land. That language, when we hear Peter using this, ought to be becoming more familiar to you. Because this is now three times in the text, and we'll see it again, that Peter will refer to the faithful, refer to those who are born again, that you are to be strangers in this culture. It means that our lifestyle, our conduct, our behavior ought to be so foreign to the norm of this culture that our culture mostly doesn't know what to do with us. Now we'll find here, Peter actually brings something up in this piece of text that is, if it's not already eye-popping open to you, that this morning you'll walk away from here knowing that there ought to be some kind of a difference in the way the world treats us, in the way we behave in the workplace primarily. And I think you can take this and lay this across, not just in the workplace, but students, the way you are in the classroom, spouses the way you are to each other, and the way you treat your neighbors, the way you treat your boss, the way you treat your fellow brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord, the way we treat those who are, Peter addressed this as we looked at this last week, verses 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, the way we conduct ourselves in relationship to our government. These are all places that that we are given an opportunity to display the glory of God, and the way we conduct ourselves here in this place, in this specific place today, as we look at in the workplace, we'll see that it has a glorious moment for us to display the grace and display the glory of God. So let's examine it. My attempt is to be quick but thorough. My attempt this morning is because I want you to be encouraged by the ministry of Aaron and Melissa. I think it's timely that God has them here. And the timely coming from the messages that we've been looking at in 1 Peter. And it's timely that we, the people of Eastside Baptist Church, be the recipients of the encouraging ministry of Aaron and Melissa Weil this day. And I want you to be encouraged by that ministry today. So let's look at this from the text. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Not only to those, this would be good, wouldn't it? It's easy for us to do this to those who are good to us. You know, when you get a raise, you like to talk about how good your boss is. When you get an extra benefit at the workplace, it's easy to talk about how good that boss is. And whenever they give you extra time off, we like to talk about how good they are to us and how kind they are to us. And when you go through something hard and you go to your boss and say, listen, I know that we got a lot going on and I need some help and I need some more time off, or I need to come in late for this, or I need to leave early for that, and I've got a doctor's appointment in the middle of the day. Everyone loves a boss who works with us, don't you? Peter says, not only do you are you good and speak good and be respectful of the one boss who is good to you and gentle to you, but don't you know he has to bring in this clarifier, but also to those who are unreasonable. Huh. I hear your I feel your I feel it. I know what you're talking about. Peter's saying we speak and we behave with the same level of respect that we give to a gentle and kind boss. We give that same kind of respect to an unreasonable boss. We give the same kind of lip service when we speak good about a boss that lets us off for a special reason or a need or a hardship or a special occasion, whether it's good or difficult in our life. We use the same words of respect for that boss who doesn't let you off for that special need or that doctor's appointment or that hardship that you're going through, or doesn't understand that you need to come in 20 minutes late because something's going on at home, or you need to leave an hour early because you got to get to the bank because you got to get something settled up. And you know, the only time that you're at work is when the bank's open, and you know how hard that is. Your boss says, no, I can't do it. You can't go. Peter's saying we speak with the same level of respect regardless of the boss's behavior toward us. So Peter's address here is not to the boss, and I believe Peter has good words to say to bosses and to those the people that we work with. But this word here is to us, is to you who work for somebody. So when it's coffee break time, when it's lunch break time or after hours time, and you know how the talk wants to go, move about the boss or the behavior, the mindset, not only the outward expression of this, but also the inward, and maybe even more so the inward, because the inward is what's going to eventually come out of us and how we speak or how we act toward or behave toward this individual. So, servants, be submissive to your masters. Say, well, I don't have a master at my place. I have a boss, but he's not my master. Don't get hung up on the language of Peter's day. Say, I'm not a slave. I can quit that job any day I want to. And you probably can. And sometimes it's probably appropriate too. But the word here is to us, the follower of Christ, be submissive. If your employer comes asking something that you say is unreasonable in your mind, or you say is not fair and unjust, Peter's giving you a hard pill to swallow here, isn't he? He's saying to you to be submissive to your master. And he's not only saying be submissive to your master, but he's also saying be submissive to your master with all respect. I hear you. I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. And perhaps even there's some that I have no clue how hard it is at your workplace. But let me take you to the word further here. Verse 19. This finds favor with God. Okay? And we'll see Peter saying this in verse 19 and verse 20. He starts verse 19 out with saying, this finds favor. And he concludes verse 20 out with, this finds favor with God. So let's find, what does he mean, this finds favor? Is he meaning being submissive to your masters with all respect? Is that what he's saying, finds favor? We could say yes to that. Not only to the one who's kind and gentle to you, but also to the one who's unreasonable. That finds favor with God, that you would behave like that. I think that's fair to say. But the conditioning or the grammatical positioning of the text here is sandwiched here. In the phrase, this finds favor, and this finds favor with God. So let's see what it is. Verse 19. If for the sake of consciences toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. So this is what finds favor with God. So you see, it can be attached to verse 17 or verse 18, to one who's suffering in the workplace with an unjust or an unfair, unreasonable boss. This finds favor with God that you would behave like this. Because of the glory of God is involved here, the way you behave toward your employment speaks of the glory of God. The way you talk about your workplace speaks about the glory of God. The way you speak about your boss speaks about God. So this finds favor. So this God finds favor in the way I speak about my boss. I should clarify that. As long as your communication about your boss is respectful, because some of the ways we talk about our bosses are not finding favor with God. Here's the clarifier in verse 19. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears God. So you're living your life toward God. You're conducting your life, your behavior, your mindset, your respect toward your boss. You're doing this toward God. You're doing this out of obligation. Yes, that's part of this. You're doing this because you have been born again. So it's now part of your new nature. This is why you behave like this. Part of your old nature behaves the other way, with disrespect and dishonor toward that person who is in authority over you, whether it be in the workplace or in the government. And so Peter's saying, this finds favor. For the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. So it is the sorrows and the hardships and the difficulties and the perplexions of why the boss is behaving like this, or why your government is putting this kind of pressure upon you, or why your neighbor is behaving like this towards you. If in your conduct you are being fair and respectful and just, and you're still having to bear much sorrow in the unjust behavior, and you're suffering for it, Peter is saying, this finds favor with God. So, are you telling me, Paul, that God finds pleasure in my suffering? I believe so. I believe that the glory of God is indeed displayed when God removes suffering for us. I do believe the glory of God is displayed whenever a disease is healed from us. I do believe the glory of God is displayed whenever things are comfortable. But I think, and we cannot miss this in Peter. As a matter of fact, this from this point forward in Peter's epistle, it is much to say about suffering. It's like Peter's been saying all of these things to get to this point, and then he's going to basically hang out here for the remainder of the book. That we'll see it in chapter 3, we'll see it in chapter 4, we'll see it especially in chapter 5. Peter's going to speak about the suffering of the saints. It's inescapable. It should be expected. And the reason it is because we are now born again. Remember that portions in chapter 1 in those first 3-4 verses, the causing of our being born again? We now bear with us the mark of our Savior. And our Savior suffered greatly for us. And we are instructed in this day, in this era, in this season of life, in this period of time, in all of eternity, it would be right for God's people to suffer. Now, what Peter will say in verse 20 is that there are two different ways that suffering can come upon us. And the kind of suffering that Peter's saying that you ought to take joy in and bear up under is different than the other kind of suffering. So let's take a quick look at it. Verse 20, "For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience?" So let me stop there. So in other words, say you get fired on the job because you're just a lazy person. You know what a lazy person is, don't you? Some of you go, "Yeah, me. I'm the epitome of lazy." I work with lazy. I know what lazy is because I see it every day. That's a different kind of suffering. You got fired from your job because you're a lazy person, and you'll suffer for it. Peter's not saying that's good kind of suffering. He's saying you're a hard worker. You show up every day for work, those rare occasions because either you're sick or that rare occasion that you need to take care of something, you need to not be at work, and that rare occasion where whatever's going on and just something has to happen and something has to give, and you plead with your boss and your boss gives you that moment or he doesn't give you that moment, and so because he doesn't, you go and you suffer the hardship of that. Or let's say, take some of those social sins of our life. You know, it's kind of interesting, a little side note, rabbit trail for just a quick moment. We as Baptists love to talk about the social sins of drinking and smoking, and we love to stay away from the social sin of gluttony. And I'm not sure, well, I know why that is, because that's us and that's them and whatever. He's not saying in the suffering you should say this is a good thing that I'm suffering because I'm a smoker and I have lung disease. It's good because now I can display the glory of God and I can smoke all I want to and still have this disease and I'm suffering because of it. Or I'm a drinker and I'm a drunk and I got liver disease and it's good that I keep drinking so I can display the glory of God of how much I can endure or consume, whichever way you're looking at it. We don't really deal with the issues of gluttony much, because we'll bless the Lord for this food that I'm gorging myself with, and I'm just going to prove to the world how good God's glory is and how much I can endure in this suffering for all the food that I'm eating. So that's different suffering. This suffering is you are a hard working because of your longing to give the glory to God in your commitment to the workplace and your commitment to your employer, you are doing this and your employer is still treating you unfairly. But yet you still endure. That's the kind of suffering that Peter's saying gives glory to God. You live your life in a healthy lifestyle and you still get cancer. And you endure it to the glory of God. That's the kind of suffering Peter's talking about. Or because you're doing something good for a neighbor and your neighbor hates Christianity. And so your neighbor spends the rest of your neighboring life as your living sworn enemy. Yet you keep being good to him or her. That's the kind of suffering Peter's talking about. That kind of suffering displays the glory of God. That kind of good suffering. So what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? There's no credit there. You're not giving any glory to God in that. But if when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you suffer for doing right, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. So, the quick encouragement word that I want to give you today, the quick exhorting word that I want to give you from God's Word today here is that this, I believe the phrasing, this finds favor and this finds favor with God, it's not you doing something to buy the favor of God. It's because you are born again. You have the enduring power and strength of the Holy Spirit of God in your life to endure for doing right, hardships and sufferings. Seasons of time whenever we have to struggle harder than other seasons of time. God will give you the strength, believer, born again, faithful person, follower of Christ. God will give you the strength to endure through that for His glory. And in doing so, finding you tasting the grace of God. The word favor in the English language, we find it periodically, both the Hebrew language and the Greek language, that word grace somehow fits better in the English language as the word favor. But not usually in the way that we think of a favor. A favor is, I'll do something for you to buy a favor back from you. This isn't that kind of favor. This is God giving grace. And in His giving you grace, gives you the ability to endure suffering when your employer, your spouse, your neighbor, your parents, your teacher treats you unfairly. Gives you the grace to endure through it. I don't need to be the one to cry for my rights that are being unreasonably taken away from me. I got God. I don't need to be crying about my 15-minute break that I didn't get yesterday because my boss gave me too much work to do. I got eternity in heaven. I don't have to worry about the fact that I had to work 5 extra minutes and my boss is so unreasonable. He made me come in early and made me stay late and I'd only got 20 minutes of lunch instead of 30 minutes or an hour. I got eternity with the grace of God. I deserve hell and God gave me grace. I can endure this hardship right now. I can do it, God, because You've given me Your grace. I can do it, God. I can endure this disease. It's hard. It's ugly. It's causing me to live in great discomfort all of the days of my life. But I can endure it with joy because I get eternity with You, God. This finds favor with God. That's so, in other words, God's directing His grace towards you. And in His doing that, you can go to work tomorrow, church. And not to be the best boss or the best, yeah, if you're a boss, be the best boss, okay? Not because you don't go to work tomorrow to be the best employee. Only so you can be recognized as the employee that works harder than others. You be the one who works harder than others so that those who are working with you and your boss is perplexed over you. Has a hard time understanding why you give them all that you give them. Even if they are unreasonable toward you. Endure it. Stay the course through it. And yes, there are times when God's going to direct your course differently. And He's going to give you grace. Isn't it good? Have you ever been in a hard working place and God gave you grace and let you out of it? Moved you into another place? It's good when God does that. But if He doesn't, endure it. Keep pressing on. And in the doing of it, Peter saying, this is how you display the glory of God. Servants, be submissive to your masters, verse 18, with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also, yes, also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor If for the sake of consciousness toward God, a person bears up under much sorrow when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin, you are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God.